Good morning, my friend. So good to be with you. Thank you so much for the honor and the privilege for being in your home. Today we are doing our Christmas series called It's a Wrap, and we're on number 3 this morning. Last week we saw 5 different people who were wrapped up in something. Firstly, we saw the Magi, who were wise men who were wrapped up in their search after God. That when we search after God, we can be wise and be considered wise men because our priorities are straight. Secondly, we saw King Herod, who was wrapped up in himself. That when we are wrapped up in ourselves, then it leads to selfishness and we can miss out on what God is doing. Thirdly, we saw the innkeeper, who was wrapped up in busyness, and that we can be so busy with what is going on that we can miss out on what God is doing. And the innkeeper was so connected to busyness that he missed out on what was happening in the stable. Fourthly, we saw the shepherds, who were wrapped up in fear. And that you and I can be wrapped up in fear and remember that which we are greatly fearful of will come upon us. So it says in Job. And fifthly, most importantly, we saw that God wrapped himself in skin, that he became a man, that he could relate to us so that we could relate to him, and that he wrapped himself in the form of a human being so that we have a faithful high priest who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. If there's anybody who understands what you're going through, it is Jesus, because he was a man tempted and tested in all things, yet without sin. And he's the one who can show us the pathway to God. So this morning we're going to continue in being in It's a Wrap. And I want to share with you just something that you can create happy holidays this season. That you can cultivate something in your heart and experience a tremendous Christmas, irrespective of what is going on around you. You know, for me personally, Christmas was, when I was growing up, was never ever a happy time. It was always a cause for disappointment. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And my heart was always sick because of the Christmas season, because of the great disappointments that I always used to experience year after year. And I've had to really cultivate some things in my heart so that I can connect to joy and go from Christmas jeer to Christmas joy during this season. And so I want to just share a couple of things with you this morning on how you can create happy holidays and have good memories and create your own Christmas traditions where you can create a happy time during the Christmas season. And one of the keys that I've cultivated in my heart during this time is cultivating an attitude of gratitude. You've always got to remember that our miracle is within us, and that we can experience the life of God. We can experience the grace of God during this season. And one of the keys that I cultivate within my heart is cultivating gratitude. You must always remember that during the season, there's pressure from family, there's pressure from finances, there's pressure. We've been told that our beaches are closed during this time, and it wants to steal our joy and steal the message of Christmas away from us. And you must always remember that God never forces himself on us. But when I begin to align my heart with God and his grace, then things come alive in me, because every decision that I make that is consistent with God's promises and the life that he promises me, then grace is activated. And I can start to experience things that are godly. I can experience his grace come alive within me rather than what I've always got based on a faulty belief system. So I want to share with you this morning on how you can make choices and cultivate gratitude within you and experience God's best for you. My first point this morning is that thankfulness starts when I become aware. I need to be conscious of what is going on within me, because when I'm conscious of what is going on within me, I can be aware if I'm going to be on the path to destruction and the same old, or I can be aware and make certain adjustments in my heart, and I can start enjoying the life that God promises within me. You know, in Proverbs, it talks about on the outside we can be one way, but on the inside we can be experiencing something differently. And if I'm not aware, I can end up in a place that I don't want to be in. In Proverbs 14:13, in the Amplified, it says, even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. In the New Living Translation, it says, laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. So am I noticing what is going on within me? If I can sense that my heart is beginning to grow hard, if I can sense that my attitude is changing toward Christmas and I'm taking on this world system, then if I'm not aware of those things, I'm going to end up there. But if I'm aware of those things, I can make adjustments. And we need to be aware of what God is doing during this Christmas season. We need to be aware of what God is doing on a daily basis. We need to be aware of what God is doing continually within me. In Psalm 68, 19 and 20, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation." Selah. Think about those things. It's saying, remember that God bears your burden, that God daily loads you with benefits. Verse 20, God is to us a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs ways of escape from death. So I've got to be aware that God is the one who's daily loading me with benefits, that daily God bears my burden. So if I'm not conscious of what God is going to do and what he is doing, then it will have no value to me. So I've got to be aware of what God is doing on a daily basis. In Ephesians 3 verse 20 in the Amplified, it says, "Now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose, do superabundantly, far above we all dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." But notice what it's saying. It says that he is at work within us. In the Passion, it says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." Notice he's saying, never doubt God's mighty power to work within you. If I'm not aware that God is at work within me and that he's at work around me, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to be like the innkeeper who's so busy with everything else that I miss out that God is actually at work. So I need to be aware of what is going on inside of me. In Psalm 3, it's talking about focusing on something. So am I focused in on what God is doing, or am I focused in on what God is not, what I think he's not doing? Notice in Psalm 3, 1 to 3, "I will bless the Lord at all times." He's saying, I'll bless the Lord at all times. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Continually. So I'm going to bless him at all times. This is going to be something that I'm going to continue to do. Verse 2, "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Notice the words that are being used here by the psalmist. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will boast. I will magnify. I will exalt. To magnify something means to make it bigger. What I focus on, I get more of. So when I begin to magnify the Lord, guess what? I'm going to get more of who he is. I'm going to become more aware of who God is. When I begin to focus on what he is doing, when I start to develop and cultivate gratitude within my heart, when I begin to see that God is at work and I'm aware of the one who lives inside of me, I get more of those things. In Proverbs 15:15, listen to this in the Living Bible. "When a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. When he's cheerful, everything seems to go right." Notice it's saying that the man, when everything is going right, then he's cheerful. No, it says that when a man is cheerful, everything seems to go right. When a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. Notice my heart is a magnet. So when I'm aware of what's going on in my heart, if I'm gloomy, if I'm depressed, if I'm despondent and I'm continually focus on those things, guess what? The Bible says that I'm going to get more of that. Listen, I don't want more of that. So, but he says, when I'm cheerful, it seems like everything goes right. I like, you know, the way it says it in the Amplified. It says, "All the days of the desponding and afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and forebodings." When my heart is full of despondings or forebodings and anxious thoughts, it says, man, all of my days seem despondent and afflicted. But he goes on, "But he who has a glad heart has a continual feast regardless of the circumstances." in the King James, it says, when my heart is distressed, things don't go right. Are you aware of what's going on in your heart? Are you conscious of the fact, man, I need to be more aware of who God is, His love for me, His goodness, and I'm going to get more of that in the message. It says a miserable heart means a miserable life. A cheerful heart fills the day with a song. So he's saying, man, when I start to develop an attitude of gratitude, it seems that my life is going to change direction. When I start to have a cheerful heart, a glad heart, when I'm aware that God is at work within me, my life's direction changes course. But if I have a miserable, gloomy heart, I'm just going to get more pain and destruction. And it says that in Proverbs 17, verse 20. It says, a crooked or a froward heart finds no good thing. It's when my heart is crooked, I'm not going to find any good thing. But when I focus and magnify my heart and I magnify God in my heart, I'm going to get more of that, because what I focus on, I get more of. So he's talking here, and there is a big warning here in Romans chapter 1 also talking about this. It says, man, I need to be aware of what is going on inside of my heart, because I can change the course of my life when I change what I'm believing in my heart. Unbelief is something that is in my heart and leads me to continual pain and destruction. But when, by the grace of God, I change my heart beliefs and I begin to focus on God, and I replace these beliefs with the beliefs that are congruent with God and His life, and that His abundance is within me, when I start to cultivate gratitude, I can change the course of my life's directions. Listen to this in Romans chapter 1. This is a warning for us. In verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So he's saying, listen, God is, His power is at work. You've just got to look around and be attuned into it. You know, there are tunes going out all the time, but if I'm not tuned into them, I'm going to miss out on them. That's what he's saying, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, and they became futile in their reasonings, or vain in their imaginations, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Notice he says, the road to destruction comes when I don't honor God and I'm not thankful. And the Bible says that I become a fool. Though that I was wise when I was acknowledging God, when I was aware of God, when I turned my heart from being aware of what God was doing, when I stopped being thankful and I stopped honoring God, the Bible says that I'm then on the pathway to destruction. Friend, we need to be aware that God is always at work within us. The Bible says He is at work within you to will and to do for His good pleasure. Start being aware of what is going on in your heart. If you find that your heart is hard and calloused, especially during this Christmas season, start to cultivate an awareness of God's presence by acknowledging that He is Emmanuel, God with us. That was the name that was given to Jesus when He was born. Start cultivating an awareness of His presence, an awareness of the fact that He lives within you, that He loves you, that He is good to you. Start cultivating that within you. Start developing gratitude, and your life will be taken from the path of destruction and put back onto the path of life just by honoring God and by being thankful. Don't forget that you are saved, that you've been saved from hell when you've received Christ. Secondly, take nothing for granted. You know that nobody owes us anything. Nobody owes me anything. Nobody owes you anything. And when we are living a life where we have these expectations and demands on people that are not being met in our own expectation, our hearts grow weary and tired and disappointed. It's because we are placing demands on people. Listen, nobody owes you anything. If you are placing demands on people, you become a victim. And God has said that you are not a victim. You're a victor, because the greater one lives inside of you, and God has blessed you with everything that you need for life and godliness. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. So I no longer need to demand anything from anybody. Listen, if your husband is paying the bills, be grateful. If your wife is making you coffee and meals and being a good homemaker and looking after the kids, be grateful. If you've got family members, if you've got a church, if you've got friends, be grateful. Don't take anything for granted. Don't live with a sense of obligation that somebody, your government, your church, your neighbor, your friend, your spouse, whoever it might be, owes you anything. Let go of all sense of obligation that anybody owes you anything. Don't take anything for granted. In Romans 13:8, the Amplified says, keep out of debt and owe no man anything. Don't live with a sense of obligation that somebody owes you anything, except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow man, meeting all its requirements. Be appreciative. Don't live with the sense that people owe you something. Rather, start expressing thanksgiving. Start thanking people for the little things that they're doing. Thank the person who found you your parking. Thank the person who is doing the till when you go and pay for your groceries. Remember that everything is a gift and that you have everything within you to be a success because God lives within you. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says he gives you the power to create wealth, that God himself is within you. He supplies all of your needs and that you don't need anything from anybody, but that you are here to express love and express the kingdom of God. You know, we can often get to the place where we are no longer thankful and it leads us to this path of destruction. Thomas Secker said this, he enjoys much who is thankful for little. He's saying, man, when you are thankful for little, you're going to enjoy much. Frank Clark said, if a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. He's saying, man, if you're not thankful for what you do have, you're probably not going to be thankful for what you are going to get. So begin to cultivate thankfulness. Cultivate gratitude in your heart. And the Bible says that you're going to enjoy life. You're going to enjoy things. You know, some people say, no, I'll be thankful when my ship comes in. No, you can be thankful now. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, thank God in everything. Not thank God for everything, but thank God in everything. And then he says, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. So the will of God for you is to be thankful, to give thanks irrespective of the circumstances. When you begin to give thanks for the small things, you're going to enjoy life and you're going to have an expectation of more, because what you magnify, you get more of. My third point in cultivating gratitude, getting your heart right, creating happy holidays, is take this pebble out of your shoe. So, I mean, in the Hebrew there, when it talks about confession, that is the analogy that it gives, that we need to take the pebble out of our shoe and throw it far from us. Take that thing which is causing discomfort, that is causing pain, where you're not enjoying the journey of life, and throw it far from you. Remove it from you. That is what it means to repent. Repentance means change your mind. So you can change your mind. You can repent by taking an old attitude and throwing it away and start developing and cultivating a new attitude. You know, oftentimes we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. We are convicted by our own conscience. We have friends who bring conviction, they bring instruction, they bring rebuke, and telling us that our attitude stinks, and yet we'll hold on to a stinking attitude and get more of the same. Instead of being a wise man, heeding that instruction and that correction, changing our minds, changing our attitudes, letting go of these things, and taking on a new mindset. When you do that, you become wise. Listen to this. In Proverbs 15:32, he who refuses and ignores instruction and correction despises himself. When I know that I'm being corrected or I'm being instructed, if I don't heed that, I despise myself. I hate myself. That's what it's saying. But he who heeds reproof gets understanding. I like the way it says in the Passion. Refusing constructive criticism shows you have no interest in improving your life. When you refuse constructive criticism, it's saying that you are showing that you don't want to improve yourself. For revelation insight only comes as you accept correction and the wisdom that it brings. Proverbs 10:17 says something similar in the Amplified. He who learns from instruction and correction is on the right path of life, and for others his example is a path toward wisdom and blessing. But he who ignores and refuses correction goes off course, and for others his example is a path towards sin and ruin. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying that when I learn from instruction and correction, I'm on the path of life. But if I reject it, if I refuse to be open to correction, if the Holy Spirit is convicting me, if my conscience is convicting me, if others are speaking truth into my life and I'm feeling convicted, if I reject that, then I'm on the path to destruction. I like the way it says it in the Passion Translation. It says, if you readily receive correction, you're walking on the path to life. But if you reject rebuke, you're guaranteed to go astray. So he's saying that if I reject instruction, whether it be from the Holy Spirit, my own conscience, the Word of God, or others around me, the Bible says that I'm going to be led astray. So we've got to remember that our mind seeks to preserve the ego, but your heart desires to preserve your identity in Jesus. So if these two things are not in congruence, if they're not in harmony, I'm going to be conflicted and there's going to be a path of destruction. But if I let go of my ego and I humbly submit to my conscience, to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, and to correction from others around me, I'm on the path to life. And that's what it's saying. So I can remove the pebble from my shoe. I can take away those things that are producing discomfort and pain in my life. I can cast them from me and I can enjoy the path of life when I begin to heed instruction and correction from those around me, from the Word of God, from my conscience, and from the Holy Spirit. When I humble myself, when I listen to that and I'm ready to turn and repent and come back to the place where the life of God is flowing in me, the Bible says that I'm on the path of life. So take the rock out of your shoe and enjoy the journey of life with the Savior who lives inside of you. And then my last point this morning is express your appreciation. You know, we eat a lot of food in the Christmas season, and if your digestive system isn't working properly and everything gets clogged up in there, it eventually starts to release poison in your body. And it's the same, I think, you know, if we are not releasing or expressing appreciation, we can get corrupt inside. We can decay on the inside because we are not expressing appreciation, not only to the people around us, but to God Himself. In Psalm 140, verse 13, it says, "Certainly the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence." So when it's saying the righteous here will give thanks to your name, in the Old Testament, when it talks about righteous, it talks about being straight. So he's saying that the righteous, when your heart is straight, you can give thanks. But if your heart is crooked, and the unrighteous will not give thanks. That's what he's saying, the converse of that voice, the verse. So he's saying in this portion of scripture that when you express thanksgiving, you can know that your heart is straight. It's when you know that you can see things clearly. In Psalm 69:30, it says, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving." So I can glorify God when I start giving him thanks. In Psalm 95, 1, 2, 3, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods." Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Notice he's saying that you can enter into the presence of God by using thanksgiving. As you begin to express thanksgiving, as you begin to express thanks to God, that he's at work within you, that he is for you, that he's working on your behalf. As you begin to acknowledge those things, when you look for the small things that you can be grateful for, as you begin to express thanks to those around you and you express thanks to God, the Bible says that this is praise to him, that this extols his name, this blesses God, this is worship unto God when you begin to express thanks. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So he's saying that even as you begin to engage in communication with God, as you draw near to God, you wrap yourself around God and you allow him to wrap himself around you, as you become one with him, one of the keys to create an emotion within you that is not this negativity that can surround the Christmas season, but this place where you're entering into a union and a place where your heart is at peace, you can use thanksgiving as you begin to express thanks to God for from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. In Hebrews 12, this is my last scripture, verses 28 to 29. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So he's noticed there is this connection between worship and thankfulness, thanksgiving. So friends, I want to encourage you, as you create a new emotion with you, as you create new traditions, take your family, grab your family together, and maybe do a week of thanks every day. Just get up and start to say, hey guys, what can we be thankful for? Let's not focus on the negativity. Let's not focus on consumerism that surrounds Christmas sometimes, but rather live generously in terms of generous with your emotions, generous in your attitude, generous in your thanksgiving to those around you and to God. We have so much to be grateful for. So in conclusion, be aware of what is going on inside of you. Take note, is your heart growing hard? Is your heart getting calloused? Are you allowing this world system to infiltrate your heart? Be aware. Honor God. Begin to give thanks. Secondly, take nothing for granted. Remember that nobody owes you anything, and everything that we have is a gift. Begin to celebrate every single thing as a gift. Thirdly, take that little rock out of your shoe. Don't allow offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, and a bad attitude to take away from you enjoying life. Rather, just take that thing out of your shoe, throw it far from you, begin to change your attitude, begin to repent. That's what the Bible means, to change your mind about these things. And then my last point, express appreciation. Find people, look to God, begin to express your thanks and begin to live a life of thanksgiving and begin to express that to those around you, and more importantly, express it to God, because his love endures forever. We have so much to be grateful for. So friends, be encouraged. Get your heart in tune with God. Get your heart in tune with where he wants to take you. And don't resist correction and instruction, whether it be by the Holy Spirit, your own conscience, the Word of God, or people around you. But heed it. The wise man heeds instruction and criticism. So be open to it and allow God to lead you in the pathway to enjoy life. My friends, we love you, we pray for you, and we pray that 2020 will be your best Christmas ever, regardless of the circumstances. And always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved of God.